Alonzo Bowden, I want to welcome you to episode 384 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Recording from the La Meridian Hotel in Tampa, which is a bit overrated. If you're ever staying in downtown Tampa, don't waste the money on La Meridian. Anyway, I had to wait to record the podcast because, as you may or may not know, Donald Trump had amazing news. It was a big development. It was a huge development. And we all had to wait for it to see what was going to happen. Did he start reading books or who knows what it was going to be? Well, now we know what it's going to be. Ladies and gentlemen, for $99, only $99, you can get your Donald Trump superhero NFT. That's right. What's an NFT? Well, I'm not really sure, but according to Donald, it's a digital piece of art, and it shows him as a superhero. Some say he was watching, Amazon, and he saw Homelander on that show and said, I want to be that superhero. Nobody really knows, but he's really pushing these things, only $99. And get this, Christmas is coming, and they make great gifts. Now, I'm sure by now you've seen this. It is actually Donald Trump drawn as a superhero, and many Trump supporters are kind of not really Trump supporters anymore because they're finding out who Donald Trump really is. That's that is the only way to describe it. For example, one of the insurgents who goes by the name Baked Alaska, he was one of the guys who attacked the Capitol. He's going to jail. He's been sentenced, and he's only been sentenced to 30 days. His name is Anthem Joseph Gionet. Yeah, he's going to jail for 30 days, and he said, I am not going to jail for an NFT salesman. Well, guess what? You are going to jail for an NFT salesman. Why? Because Donald Trump's been a con man from day one, and now you're finally seeing it. That's all. There is another guy out of Iowa who's going to jail. I think he got sentenced to 5 years. It's the same thing. They're all upset now. They're like, wait a minute. He's just a huckster in it for the money? Yes, he's been that from the beginning. This whole thing has been about branding, about selling, about making deals, with foreign countries. Who knows how much money his family made off China? All that. Yeah, this is who he is. This is what did he say? Maya Angelou famously say, if someone shows you who they are, believe them. This is who Donald Trump is. So now you're doing 30 days. You know, Baked Alaska, I hope you get a free NFT. I mean, that would be the least they could do. You doing 30 days in jail, you attacking the capital of the United States, et cetera, et cetera. The least they could do is give you a free NFT. And people are really like, what? This is the announcement? We thought it was good. Yeah, this is the announcement. This is exactly what it is. It is exactly who he is. The Republican Party has just gone down to, again, I say this all the time, there is no bottom, right? There's no level that they won't sink to. And it's all a big con on the working class. If you're the, quote, working class white man, it's a con. They don't care about you. They're not in it for you. If you're a billionaire, you do pretty good by you, even if you're a multimillionaire. But if you're living in, I don't know, Kansas or Idaho or Iowa or Georgia or one of these red states, and you make 40, 50, even 100,000 bucks a year, they don't care about you. They care about taking advantage of you. They care about getting your money. So why not buy you a Donald Trump NFT and show it off to your friends just in time for Christmas? Speaking of no bottom. So I don't know if you remember Dan Snyder. He owns the Washington football team, now known as the Commanders. And Dan Snyder is pretty much a lowlife, and is pretty much known as he's a lowlife. Well, one of the things he did, besides fighting the change in name of the team, was he secretly took pictures of their cheerleaders when they were like changing, you know, so they're all kind of nude shots, partially nude shots, catching them, you know. These are the pictures that were traded with another coach, John Gruden from the Raiders, who got fired for being involved in this. It was a whole scandal a couple years ago. Now, this is, ladies, women, you know, if you've ever seen my act, I have jokes about the word creepy and how bad it is to be creepy. It's the word, you don't want to be creepy. These guys want to be creepy. So there's an investigation, a congressional investigation into Dan Snyder, the Washington Commanders, that's the name of the football team now, sexual harassment, et cetera, et cetera. The Republicans on the committee got a hold of the pictures of these cheerleaders, the partially nude breasts, butts, genitals, everything. And they started trading them amongst themselves. They started as if they were, I don't know, teenage boys who got a hold of some naked pictures of women. They're supposed to be investigating his behavior. Instead, they're under the guise of investigation, they're sending the pictures to each other. And interesting, they didn't share them with any of the Democrats. No, this was their own thing. This is their own thing. They're sending these pictures around like some teenage kid. And look again, the hypocrisy. If you want to look at naked cheerleaders on the internet, all you have to do is Google naked cheerleaders. And I'm sure there's a million pictures that will come up on the internet because, you know, it's the internet. But no, they rather trade these pictures. So now now they have to investigate the investigators and tell them that they can make reference to the pictures, verbal reference to the pictures, but they don't need to send the pictures. I don't know. The pictures are already out there. You know, once something gets on the internet, it doesn't go away. They say that they blurred their faces, but they sent the pictures around. The lawyer who's representing the women in the case said that they're being re-traumatized. They've already faced harassment, humiliated, incensed, and I feel bad for the women, right? Because some people say, hey, you signed up for it, you're a cheerleader. Cheerleaders obviously very sexy in their costumes and all that, but they did not sign up to do nude pictures for some creepy old NFL owners and now some creepy old congressmen. Again, just no bottom. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. Adam Kinziger, who is leaving the congressional floor, Republican from Illinois, he's mad. And at the end of his last speech, his last talk in the Capitol, he talked about it. He talked about what the Republican Party has become. And he basically said, our leaders today, he's talking about the Republican Party, our leaders today belittle and in some cases justify attacks on the U.S. Capitol. That would be you, Baked Alaska. Justify attacks on the U.S. Capitol as legitimate political discourse. The once great party of Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Reagan, they hold on to that Lincoln thing. Lincoln's Republican Party is not today's Republican Party. But anyway, let's keep going. The once great party of Lincoln, Roosevelt, and Reagan has turned its back on the ideas of liberty and self-governance. Instead, it has embraced lies and deceit. The Republican Party used to believe in a big tent which welcomed the tired, the poor, and the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Yeah, sure. Now we shelter the ignorant, the racist, who only stoke anger and hatred to those who are different than us. And well, that would be why he's leaving, because he didn't get on board. Yes, this is who the Republican Party is today. And if you're not on board, you're out. Now, I am back in Tampa, Florida, and DeSantis is really going all in on his anti-vax thing, which, by the way, is complete flip. They're showing the videos of when he was pro-vax, but now he's completely flipped on that. He wants his own board to monitor the CDC and this and that and the other. The Republican Party hates the federal government until the hurricane shows up. Then suddenly FEMA is my friend. So the podcast is winding down. And by the way, I really want to thank you guys. There have been a lot of people who have been posting comments and sending messages saying how much they love the podcast, how much they like listening to the podcast. Again, I appreciate it. It's shifting over to the videos I do with the TYT Network. You'll still get plenty of content from me, but thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, this is an interesting thing that I just want to, I guess, think out loud about. I'm sure we've all had this. This is a function of the Trump administration. When you find out someone you know, a friend, a coworker, family member, or whatever, has certain beliefs that make you say, I have a comic friend who posts, and he's a cool guy. Listen, he's funny. We're friends. I don't expect to 100% agree with everything that a friend says. Okay, as you guys know, I joke about it, but I'm friends with Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan, and they make that a little difficult. And I'm gonna talk about that a little in a minute. But he posted a video, a Hillary Clinton joke video, and he said, "Remember in 2016 when we almost elected a woman?" And he said it like it was a bad thing, and that blows my mind. It gives me a bit of side eye looking at him, because this isn't 2016. Like, maybe in 2016 you had that view. Now, we went through the Trump administration. You know who Donald Trump is, was, and ever shall be. And you still say a joke about when we almost elected a woman? That's a real trip to me. I don't get that. And women I've talked to have had these experiences. I'm still somewhat surprised at how much hatred women deal with, and women look at me like, "Alonzo, wake the hell up." And they don't say hell, but, you know, I'm trying to keep it semi-clean. The kids are listening. I do remember in 2016 when we almost elected a woman. We almost got it right. Instead, we have a Supreme Court made up of huge fans of The Handmaid's Tale. This same guy talked about the trade for Brittany Griner, getting her freedom, and how wrong that was, and so on. And it just, man, it kind of tests you. Now, I talk about Rogan and Carolla, and I'll tell you my history with Joe Rogan, and this is why I'm okay with Joe Rogan. When I say I'm okay with Joe Rogan, I'm talking about me personally, okay? I don't agree with everything Joe says. I don't agree with everything Joe does. But my personal experiences, and a lot of times I guess that's what makes a difference, are with Joe. I'll give you a couple of stories. One, from when I was early in my career, just starting out, I was at Just for Laughs, huge comedy festival in Montreal. I had met Joe a few times at the Laugh Factory. We knew each other, you know. He was on a TV show called News Radio, and Kevin James had just got his TV show, The King of Queens. In the comedy world, if you're on a network TV show, that's a big deal. You're considered one of the stars. I randomly bumped into him. They said, "Hey, Alonzo, let's go." And we went around and we did spots, you know, on various comedy shows because, again, they're stars. They walk in, they'll put them up. And that's a very cool thing to do for a friend, to get me up on these stages and in front of these people. And that was very cool. The other thing he did that was really funny and interesting to me. Now, when it comes to medicine and all that, you talk about the ivermectin and this and that. Joe has always been a guy who's done weird supplements and vitamins and this and that. So I'm not surprised by any of that. I've joked numerous times. I'm not getting my medical advice from Joe Rogan. But if the apocalypse hits, I might not mind being at the compound because he knows how to hunt with a bow and kill animals and all that. You know, you got to eat. But anyway, Joe and I were talking one time, and somehow drugs came up, and I told him about my addiction, cocaine, crack addiction, being in recovery, getting sober, et cetera, et cetera. And his mouth, what? You smoke crack? You did drugs? You, and right? And he had me on the podcast right away to talk about all of that. And after talking about it with him on his podcast and telling him my history, my background, what I went through, there were, from his audience, numerous inquiries about recovery and addiction, et cetera, et cetera. And that's Joe Rogan too. Okay, yeah, putting Alex Jones on, giving him a voice, stuff like that, I don't agree with. Joe likes to give everyone a voice. That's his choice. It's his podcast. My point being that the toughest thing about free speech is listening to speech you don't agree with. Now, should there be responsibility and penalty? Yes. You know, if you're Marjorie Taylor Greene and you're talking about the insurgents would have went better with you because they would have been armed and all that, she should be censured. She should be put out of Congress for saying that. If you yell fire in a crowded movie theater, that's illegal. There are certain things you do under the guise of free speech. You have to understand there's responsibility and there's penalties. But when someone says something, and I know this person, and I don't agree with it, it may be something that like, okay, I can't mess with you anymore, okay? Or it may be something like, man, I don't agree with that anymore, but I get your right to say it. The guy who's talking about when we almost elected a woman, we've had long discussions with different points of view on a certain issue, and we walk away laughing together, respecting each other, and continuing on our way. That's something we have lost as a society, and not just on a personal level. We probably do it better on a personal level than our country does on a government level, right? Everybody in the government is all or nothing. But the truth is, there's a lot of nuance to people, and I'm not talking about crazies like Baked Alaska or Marjorie Taylor Greene or any of that. I'm talking about most people who live their lives have different views, and our views are based on our history and our experiences and people we know, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not asking you for anything here. I'm just telling you what I think, that I'm okay with not agreeing 100% with my friends. But sometimes friends will post or say something, and I have to think, do I still want to deal with this person after what they post or said? Do I want to talk to them about it? Or do I want to just let it go and be like, that's who he is, that's who she is, or whatever? Probably a lot more that's who he is than that's who she is. So, I wanted to talk about that. What do you think? I don't know. I guess you could post in the comments or whatever, but it's interesting. But I do believe that the toughest thing to defend in free speech is speech you don't agree with. That's really tough. And I'm not talking about hate speech. And yes, Tucker Carlson, hate speech is a real thing. Tucker says there's no such thing as hate speech as he spews hate speech. Yeah, I couldn't be friends with Tucker Carlson, just for the record. Not going to happen. But you don't have to worry about it, because Tucker Carlson's never going to do anything nice for anyone unless it does something for him. It's who he is. That's it. That's this episode. We could comb through the news and find all these ridiculous stories, but you don't need me to do that. All you need to do is open your eyes or read or listen to any media or whatever, and you see that, yeah, things ain't getting a whole lot better. But price of gas has dropped some. Look for the good news. Christmas is next Saturday. I had no idea it's come up that fast. And you know what that means? That means some people may not get a gift or may not get a gift on time. So be it. It's bigger than that. It's about more than gifts. I hope that if you're in the Midwest or in the Northeast, you do well with this storm that's coming through. If you're traveling, I wish you luck. It's hard enough without storms. Have a happy Hanukkah, which is Monday. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a happy holidays. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy war on Christmas. I said they haven't been pushing that this year. I don't know what's going on. We had that one guy on Newsmax who said he couldn't find a white American Girl doll for his white daughter. He was in Rockefeller Center at American Girl, couldn't find a white doll. I was like, You know, they might have sold out, because if you go on the American Doll website, there's no shortage of white dolls. The fortunate thing is now there are many dolls of color and different shades of color, which is really an advancement. But anyway, we're not going to give our holidays to the idiots. Have a happy holiday season. Be safe. Keep laughing. I got one more podcast to do before I'm out. And once again, thank you all for all the support over the years. This is my last weekend on the road. I'm finishing up the Wait Wait live stand-up tour. And over the next, well, Christmas Eve, I do the Merry Erev Christmas, which is a Jewish Christmas show at the Laugh Factory, one of my favorite shows of the year. We'll have a ball doing that. And I'll be bouncing around the week between Christmas and New Year's around L.A. doing spots. So again, stay funny, keep laughing, stay safe. Who's paying attention? You are. You people are the best. Thank you.